Let's turn finally tonight in our Bibles to the book of Exodus, the Ten Commandments. We've been going through those the last couple of Sunday evenings and come tonight to the fourth commandment. God's commandments are meant to teach us to love. The first four commandments teach us how to love God, and the final six, how to love neighbor as ourself. And the great commandment is to love. And so we see in these commandments God's will for our lives and his good and kind and holy and righteous will at that. So Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, words that may sound familiar. I hope they do. We read this: "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." One of my fellow ministers, Michael Horton, once described our fallen human condition, our fallen human nature, as being hardwired for the law, being hardwired for the law. Because of our fallenness as sinners, we are inherently legalistic. Even though we rebel against God's laws, we make our own. And we try to get wiggle room around the laws of God. The great example, of course, was in the first century when our Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, and he came to a people that gave great lip service to the laws of God, but yet they surrounded those laws with so many traditions that they were trying to get around the laws. I mentioned one of those last Sunday morning when Jesus turns water into wine at that wedding in Cana. The law of God said that whenever a mouse or some kind of a rodent would fall into a clay pitcher of water, or some kind of a bowl or container, whatever was in that bowl, say water, would become unclean. And so one of the ways that the Jews got around that in the first century was to make these pots out of stone. So no matter what fell into it, they were not unclean because they weren't made out of clay. So they made these traditions that tried to get around the laws of God, because we're hardwired to that. That's just who we are. That's how we do our thing as sinners in this world. And that wiring, fallen wiring, affects how we respond to God's laws. And especially here in the fourth commandment, the Sabbath day commandment. How often do we think, or maybe as I read those words tonight, were you thinking, maybe you're thinking, is this what he's going to say tonight? This is an evidence of our being hardwired for the law, our fallen condition. Is the pastor Danny going to say tonight, what can I do on Sunday? Is he going to tell us what we cannot do? So the list of do's, the list of don'ts. Is he going to take a stand tonight on whether we can eat out on Sunday or not? I wonder. Am I allowed to turn on my lights at home because by doing that I'm causing someone at SDG&E to work? Maybe I want to do that because the rates keep going up and I want to stick it to them, maybe, you think? Can I drive a public bus to church on Sunday because someone has to work? And the list might go on. The list does go on. There's no end to the list of, Pastor, can I do this? Pastor, can I watch that? Can I? Should I not do this? What about this situation? Can I go here? How far can I go on Sunday to go to a birthday party? When we think of the Lord's Day and the day of rest, in those kind of terms, what can I do? What must I not do? The list of do's and don'ts, the laundry list. We've already missed the point. We've already missed the point when we think about it in terms of do's and don'ts, because that's the wiring of fallen condition. We want to know for some certainty, but we also want to come up with new ways and new ideas on getting around actually keeping the commandment. Instead, when we are born again by the Holy Spirit, we put our hope and trust in Jesus Christ, he renews us. He makes us new creatures in Christ, the Bible says. The old's passed, the new has come. And we've got to keep continuing to apply that renewing, that rewiring kind of work in our minds, especially on this commandment. So many traditions, so many rules, so many regulations, so many churches take a stance or not take a stance on this commandment in particular. And a lot of it has nothing to do with the Bible at all. We've got to rewire our minds, be renewed in our minds, because we are born again. The Spirit of God lives within us. And because I'm new, I've been pointing out this passage from Romans chapter 7, verse number 22, where the Apostle Paul, after he talks about his struggle with his sins, he says, I delight in the law of God in my inner being. This new creaturely aspect of who I am in Jesus Christ. I delight in God's law. As a sinner, I can't obey God outside of Christ. But now I'm new in Christ, and I delight in the law of God. It's not about what I can and cannot do. It's that I delight, that I love God. I want to follow his word. I want to obey his command. And so we can say tonight, you and I can say tonight, I delight in the day of God in my inner being. I delight in the commandment here, the fourth commandment, to keep the day of God holy. And no one expresses this better than Jesus. If you turn to Mark 2, and I'll look there just for a few moments tonight. Just really quick, look at the passage. And then I've got, you see the outline there, just four really quick bullet points to help us learn how to delight. I don't have a list tonight of do's and don'ts. I want you to think the big idea of how to delight, to love God by honoring the day that he's given, by using it to bring him glory and honor. So in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 2, for a few moments tonight, there's this story where we read there. Notice that verse 23. So Mark's Gospel, chapter number 2, and picking up there in the middle of the chapter at verse number 23. On one particular Sabbath day, Jesus was going through the grain fields. And as they made their way, he and his disciples began to pluck up heads of grain. Notice what we read. The Pharisees, this is that particular party of Jewish religious elites who are the root for the word Pharisee is that they were cut off of the rest. They were separated from the rest. They were the holiest of the holy. These are the spiritual elites of the Israelites. The Pharisees were saying to him, look, why are they, the disciples, doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Verse 24. What was it lawful? Well, notice they're, number one, they're traveling, right? They're walking. They're exerting energy to get from one place to another. And they're harvesting. It's not a big combine, but they're harvesting one pluck after another. Why are they doing what's not lawful? Well, what's not lawful? In fact, the law of God itself, Deuteronomy chapter 23, says that plucking a piece of grain off of a stalk in a field was actually permitted in the law of God as a work of necessity because the poor had to eat. And so people would have a field and they would leave the edges unharvested so that even on the Sabbath day, sort of like as the manna would come down, there was food for them to eat. What's not lawful? The issue is not the law of God. The issue was the tradition that these particular Jewish religious elite had. The issue was, had God forbidden this? Or was it just merely a man-made tradition to walk a certain distance on the Sabbath day, to pluck up heads of grain on that day? Jesus, notice in verse 25, points them to a story in Scripture to answer their objection. He says, have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry and those who were with him? Verse 25. He's pointing out here a story in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 21 where out of necessity, David and his followers, as they were traveling on the Sabbath day, incidentally, they stopped off at the tabernacle, the holy house of God, to eat, we'll see, the bread that God had laid out. Well, it's a work of necessity. Why is it a work of necessity? You can't keep the Sabbath day without being alive. You can't stay alive unless you eat. It's necessity. Notice the story continues. He says, as those with him, how they entered the house of God, the tabernacle, the temporary dwelling of God, in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence. There was a table inside the holy place. There's a tabernacle that had two rooms, the holy place, the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. In that first room, there was a table that had bread on it. There were two stacks of six loaves, so 12 loaves of bread, each representing one tribe of Israel, and they were stacked up there before the very face of God himself. Notice this, they eat the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for anyone but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. David ate the bread that only the priests were supposed to eat, and then he actually passed it off to his disciples, his followers. See, the priests had to work on the Sabbath day, or else the morning and evening sacrifices would not be offered, and symbolically the prayers of God's people would not be offered to God. He wouldn't hear their prayers. Without their work, the rest of the congregation could not rest. Without their work, the rest of the people of God could not enjoy the day in worship and resting. And then Jesus says this. So there's the story of David as they're traveling and they go to the house of God. They take this bread and they eat it. Why? Because it's a work of necessity. They were dying. They were going to starve. They were exhausted. And then comes this great statement, verses 27 and 28. One of Jesus' really mind-blowing statements in his gospel says this: the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So, the Son of Man is a term from the Old Testament, speaks of divinity, glory, power. This is the Son of Man, the Son of God himself in human flesh. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. What is he saying there by this illustration? They're traveling, they're plucking up heads of grain. The Pharisees say this is not lawful. Well, why is it not lawful? The law of God actually allows the poor to do this very same thing. In fact, the story of David shows us that there are times of necessity that you got to eat to stay alive. You can't keep the Sabbath unless you're alive. It's a work of necessity. Man is not made for the Sabbath. That is to say, it's not meant. God did not give this commandment to be a club, so that people can see other people doing the wrong things on the Sabbath day and beat them over the head with it. That's what he's saying. Man, the Sabbath was made for man, for the benefit of man, not us for it. The Sabbath was made to be enjoyed. The Sabbath is not a day that we should look upon as a drudgery. It's a day for delight. And coming back to that as we look at these commandments. That's what Jesus is saying. That the Sabbath was made for man. Why? To delight in God. It's not about these traditions, how far you can walk on the Sabbath day. Can you pick up your mat? Can you help an animal in a ditch? And so forth. It's a day for us to delight in God, to be refreshed and filled with joy. How do I do that? How do I come to realize and come to live out what Jesus says there, that the Sabbath was made for the benefit of man, for human beings? How do I enjoy that? Just those four little brief points tonight of application. To do this, to recognize that the Sabbath was made for you and me, means that we are to delight in the fact that it was given by God at the creation. It has a creational foundation in it. And in Genesis 1 and 2, the beginning of chapter 2 there, God shows us his very own pattern as he makes the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And what does he do after that? He rests. God works and God rests. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. And that's what we call a creation ordinance, meaning from the very foundation of the world, this is how God made the world. It's just how it is. It's to give order. It's to give structure. It's to give purpose to our lives, just like marriage and just like sex and just like work. The Sabbath is a creation ordinance. The thing that God has made the world with. He's wired the world this way. It's part of the fabric of the creation that there is 6 days of work and there's one day of rest. And the fourth commandment, when we read that from Exodus chapter 20, the fourth commandment exposits that commandment to the Israelites in their context of having been brought out of Egypt, telling them that this reminds them of the very creation itself. Keep the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Why? Because God in 6 days made the heavens and the earth. And then he ceased from that work and he enjoyed it and he rested. He blessed it. He sanctified it. He set it apart as a holy day, as a day for good, as a day for his glory, as a day to revel in all that God has done and he's made in the world around us. And so this pattern, we have to recognize this pattern of one day out of every seven being a day that is set apart to God should delight us. Again, it's not about what I can, must do or what I cannot do. That's a very man-centered way of thinking of it. What can I do? What can I not do? What can I get away with? And so forth. No, it's a day that's set apart for God. God sanctified the day and made it holy. And for us to exist as creatures in God's world, it's for us to recognize that the Sabbath has a creational foundation. This is how God made the world. And so we want to delight in that. Secondly, a part of that creational foundation was that the Sabbath day had a heavenly goal. It was never meant just to be an earthly rest and an earthly sort of institution. It has a heavenly purpose. It has an eternal purpose. God worked for 6 days, and it led him to a seventh day of rest. And so, in the same way, Adam was to follow God's very pattern and example. He was to work, and then he would look forward in that week towards that day of rest, the seventh day. It's a picture of earthly work in this life and resting and enjoying God in heaven. Why? Because if you go and read, for example, Exodus chapter 31, just a few chapters after Exodus 20 that we just read a few moments ago, God is described as being refreshed. God worked for 6 days. He made the heavens and the earth, and God was refreshed. It's a very, it's called an anthropomorphism. It's a way of describing God using a human term. God doesn't weary. God's eternal. God's infinite. God's self-sufficient. God's immense. God's all those things. He doesn't need to rest, but he shows us as a pattern for our weakness. I worked and I rested and I was refreshed in that work. You too. You too. The ultimate rest, of course, is eternal life in Jesus Christ. And when we rest in this life, even today, we try to rest from our weariness and our busyness, not just that we don't work necessarily on Sunday or that we take a nap on Sunday. We try to rest our minds and our hearts and our bodies in the Lord from all the busyness and the stress and the worry so that we can anticipate heavenly rest ultimately, where there is ultimate peace and perfection in God's presence. Third, and very briefly, it's this, that we come to delight in this reality that the Sabbath was made for us, for our benefit, when we realize that it also has a redemptive, a salvific significance, that God has saved us to keep this day. The Ten Commandments there are two lists of the Ten Commandments in the Bible. There's Exodus 20, there's Deuteronomy 5. The same commandments, the same list, but in Deuteronomy 5, the reason for rest is a little different. God has made the world, that's Exodus 20. In Deuteronomy 5, God says, you are to keep this day holy, sanctify it, set it apart, rest. Why? Because I've liberated you from Egypt. I've brought you out of your sins. Therefore, you are to serve me. It's the same commandment, just a little bit different reason for keeping it. God has saved us. Not only made us to serve him, he saved us to serve him. Again, when we start thinking about what I can do, what I can't do, what I should do, what I must not do, what I can get away with, and so forth, we miss the point. God has saved us to serve, saved us to rest. He saved us so that we would be sanctified. And finally, we are to delight in the day of God by enjoying its gracious blessings. Its gracious blessings. One of them is being physically refreshed. God was refreshed after working. There's that song from the 80s. You might hear it on, I guess now it's an oldie. The oldie station now has the 80s songs, which is a frightening thought. But there's that song, Everybody's Working for the Weekend. It's one of my childhood songs. Everyone's working for the weekend. God was refreshed on the Sabbath day. We don't work for that. We enjoy it. We rest. We physically are refreshed by God. And that language for refreshed, it speaks of even animals were refreshed. And those who were traveling in David's day were refreshed physically. God has given it as a gift. Enjoy it. Take advantage of it. You're going to be super busy. Once you get, probably already thinking about it right now. What are you going to do tomorrow? Enjoy the time. Utilize it. Enjoy its blessing. Another is spiritual refreshment. Spiritual refreshment. It's a day for us to hear the word, to sing, to pray, to fellowship, to join each other in God's presence. A couple of years ago, I read an interview by a Major League Baseball player. He went from a lesser team and he went to the New York Yankees. I mean, that's the cream of the crop, isn't it? That's the top of the food chain right there. He went from a lesser team to the New York Yankees. And he was trying to describe just the blessing of being a New York Yankee. And they had spring training every single spring, of course, in Florida. And he said this, trying to, again, describe the blessing of being on the New York Yankees. They have church on TV down here. You don't have to leave the couch. It's kind of an old interview because now, of course, that's everywhere. But trying to describe that blessing by using this real crude way of speaking. But it's not a day for us to just sort of veg out, is it? It's a day for us to enjoy God, to be refreshed spiritually. Not just put in our time because we have to, but to be in the very presence of God with others who are being transformed the same way as the Lord. It's His day. The New Testament calls this day the Lord's Day. It belongs to Him. He owns it. He's made it. He uses it as He wishes. Let me conclude by reading a little quote here. J.C. Ryle, one of my favorite authors, said it like this. He said, "Let us beware that we are never tempted to take low views of the sanctity of the Christian Sabbath. Let us take care that we do not make our gracious Lord's teaching an excuse for Sabbath profanation. Let us not abuse the liberty which He has so clearly marked out for us and pretend that we do things on the Sabbath from necessity and mercy, which in reality we do for our own selfish gratification. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Delight in God's good gift of a day of rest, a day of refreshment, hearing the gospel, enjoying Jesus." Let's pray. Our gracious and merciful God, we praise You for Jesus and Him being the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of all. But in this particular passage, Mark 2, He's the Lord of the Sabbath day. He's come to bring its reality. And as we come to You through Him in faith, we have all the blessings of Jesus Christ in the heavenly places already. And help us, Lord, in this life, on this earth, in this pilgrimage that we live, to rest in our bodies, to rest in our souls, anticipating already that everlasting Sabbath day that awaits us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.